Ladies and gentlemen, members of the armed forces, the President of the United States.
Chairman, General Marshall, distinguished guests, the armed forces in Japan and Korea, and our gallant allies who are alongside our armed forces in Korea, I want to impress upon you on this second anniversary of Armed Forces Day that we are in the midst of one of the greatest crises this country has ever faced. You fighting men and you fighting allies in Korea and Japan are holding the line while we endeavor at this end to attain a situation in the world. For 5.5 long years, we have been striving to attain a peace in the world that would be lasting. We did not institute aggression in Korea. We did not institute aggression in Greece. We did not institute aggression in Berlin. We do not want war, we want peace. The United Nations was organized for the purpose of enforcing the peace in the world. When the North Koreans and the Chinese, in their aggressive attitudes, marched into South Korea, a republic which had been set up by the United Nations and under their aegis, it was necessary that the peace-loving nations of the world enforce that peace and stop the aggression. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. When we sit here tonight, in our evening clothes, partaking of food off a white tablecloth, and enjoying ourselves in other ways, bear in mind that there are men fighting and dying in an endeavor to reach that peace for which we've been striving since World War ceased. Remember that these men are baring their breasts for liberty and unity in the world. It is necessary that the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful free nation in the world, and I say that not in a bragging way, but because it happens to be the truth, the people of the United States have assumed a responsibility which no other nation in the history of the world has assumed. We are the leaders of the free peoples in the world. It is necessary that we display that leadership, and we must display it here at home by a unity so that those young men on the battlefields of Korea shall not die in vain, so that those young men in Korea may accomplish the purpose for which they are fighting. It is necessary that you here at home remember that this is a world crisis, that this crisis must be met through the leadership of the United States of America, and it's up to you people here at home to see that that is accomplished. In order to accomplish that purpose, you must quit your bickering here at home. You must quit playing petty politics. You must remember that there are certain things that have to be done here at home if we're going to accomplish this purpose in the world. We're fighting for time. The young men in Korea and Japan are fighting for time for us. There's always an emphasis on the casualties in Korea. Of course, when there's fighting, there are casualties. But did it ever occur to you that if this necessity with which we are faced is not meant that the casualties in Korea will be one small drop in a bucket. One of those horrible bombs of which we talk so much. Think what a responsibility your president faces in a situation of this kind. If you'd think and think clearly on this subject, you'd get behind him and help him to win this peace, and that's what I'm asking you to do, and that's what our armed services in Korea wants you to do. It's up to you. We have the greatest defense organization in the history of the world. There's never been a defense organization headed by so many distinguished men who know what they're doing from experience. There's never been a government of the United States as united as the executive branch of this government of ours is now. It's up to the other branches of the government to see that we accomplish the purpose which God intended us to accomplish, and that is to lead the world to peace. I hope every one of you will go home, get down on your knees and pray for guidance to do the right thing, that these young men that are now fighting on the battlefields of Korea shall not die in vain. It's up to you.
Ladies.